Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, God bless us and God bless others as we trust you, Lord, to deliver blessings in the best way possible to all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name and amen. We all get to experience life in the present moment, and it seems as though God has all the moments all at one time. He has past, present, and future moments all in his great understanding. Wow. And anyway, I know that we try to understand what it is that God is like and what he sees. It's a little challenging for each one of us. We have a journey when we try to understand God and how he can be what he is. It's an astounding miracle to try to search that out. Some of us see the miracles that God has done, and the miracles can encourage our faith. And others see the miracles too. And it's amazing. They are amazed, we are amazed, and God is our amazing God. Some of us have had the faith of a child, and some of us continue in that very faithful faith like a child has. And I think of the thief on the cross, crucified next to Jesus, and how he had faith. And he went to be with Jesus on the very same day, which Jesus and the thief had their physical bodies die. Now, some of us have a year-long search. Some of us have a many years-long search for the truth of God. And this truth, the thief on the cross had a pretty short search for God and Jesus. It is just an amazing thing how we all come to Jesus in a different way, or we don't. But knowledge often grows, and so does our faith. Different for everyone. Anyone can have unshakable faith unto death, but you have to accept it like that. I think of Bishop Polycarp, who said he would not deny Jesus when they said, deny Jesus or you're going to die. Bishop Polycarp said he would rather die. He has been living faithfully to Jesus for, 55 A.D. is when he died, 155 A.D., but he would not deny Jesus. And I think also of another person who would not deny Jesus was William Tyndale. He was a Bible translator and translated the Bible into English. And Tyndale was killed for his faith in 1537. Today there are lots of people, thousands, who are killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. They are young and they are old, and they die strong in the Lord for their faith for Jesus Christ. And you might wonder, how does a person get that strong faith? I think it's different for everyone. One of the things that happens, though, is a person may have a miracle happen to them, and that makes their faith strong. Well, we're all different. Some of us study and search for the truth, and we have that strong faith. Everyone is different. But there are thousands of people now today who have had a dream or a vision of Jesus visiting them, and they become strong Christians. Some of them are of other faiths, or used to be. There is a wide number, a big number of Muslims who have had that visit from Jesus in a dream or a vision, and they become strong Christ followers. It's different for so many people. But also the people who witness a miracle, they have that supernaturally powerful experience. And Well, they become those strong believers too. Do you remember that 7.8 earthquake in Turkey a few months ago? So many buildings collapsed, and 50,000, over 50,000 people died from that earthquake. The news services had this story that they reported on of a 5-year-old boy who was buried under the rubble of his house. And they kept digging for bodies, the rescuers did, and then they found the boy alive 8 days after the earthquake. That was a miracle. They expected to find anyone dead, but they found the boy alive. And one of the rescuers asked the boy, "How did this happen? What happened? You are still alive." Well, what happened, this is what the boy said, that a man dressed in white occasionally brought him food and water, and then the man disappeared. So, that sounds like a miracle to me. Now, we can believe it or not. We don't know the whole story because we weren't there, but we hear these stories of miracles. And by the way, during that earthquake, there were other people who had something a little bit similar happen to them. They were trapped by the debris of that earthquake. Oh, let's see. There was another 5-year-old boy. There was a 7-year-old girl. There was a 70-something-year-old woman. And they all had a similar experience. A man in white coming to bring water and food. So, here we hear these stories. Do we believe it? Do we believe in the miracle? Or do we need a videotape of it? Or do we need to have it happen to us? What is going to make us believe that there was a miracle going on? It's a good question. Do we believe it or not? We hear miracles from time to time. Now, it's been, I think, a little over 5 years ago when I first heard this report from a starving part of Eastern Africa. It was an Adventist mission, and it was said that manna appeared twice a week to feed the starving people. So, it's another story. Do I believe that? Has it been proven to be not true? I don't know, but I know I've heard it numerous times, and it's always a question. What do we believe? Do we believe that 5-year-old boy really had a man dressed in white who would occasionally bring him water and food? And what about the other people? Well, sometimes it's easy to believe, and sometimes it is not easy to believe. Do you believe God is working? Well, there are many examples of God working in a big way or a little way. I remember in Thailand on a mission trip, we prayed that morning and then we walked down a main street. We asked for God's guidance and His help in getting the meetings that we needed to arrange. And then, just amazing, we met, there were four of us there, and we met a man right on the street as we were walking down the street. And he was just the man we needed to meet. And he spoke English, and he helped us. And was that a miracle? Or was that just a coincidence, a happenstance that we thanked God for? How are you going to define a miracle? Does it have to defy the rules of nature? What? We all have a different idea, and we can have questions. We are allowed to question, but the thing is, when you see them, something going on, you can thank God for whatever it is that happened. And that helps with our faith, to see things happen or to see miracles happen. But we have many things going on in life, and you get to determine how you view them. Was it a coincidence or was it Jesus? Did you pray first? Did you not? It's a question. Well, I'm thinking of John 14:8, when Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Well, what is enough for us today? Do we need to see the miracle right in front of us for us to believe? Or will we believe the testimony of other people? Well, there's the apostles, and they had a testimony. There are these people in the earthquake in Turkey. They have a testimony. What is it going to take for us to believe? Do we need to see it with our own eyes? Do we need to see it on a videotape? Do we need to hear about it for us to believe that Jesus has guided this to happen? And we call Jesus Lord. Well, we all have a little bit of a different opinion, don't we? But I hope that when you have something happen in your life from Jesus, that you recognize that it is a godly movement of God, and you say, "Thank you, Lord," and you believe it. Well, occasionally I have heard a statement, kind of reminds me of Matthew 10:33, where, "If you profess me before men, I also will profess you before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." So you get to figure this out. What do we believe? What do we not believe? Are we going to profess Jesus to others? Or are we going to become distracted and not speak to others about Jesus or the amazing things that we experienced? And it might even be a miracle. It might be. Well, we see all these things. How do we apply it in our own life? Whether it's Matthew 10:33 or something else. Matthew 10:33. There we go. Jesus said, "I bring not peace, but a sword." So in the Bible context, what does this mean? I think of it as meaning that Jesus is showing us this or that, and he is making or guiding or showing us one part of faith or another. So if there is a missionary person who is attributing something to a sword, that may be different from you and I, or it may be so close to the same. How do we determine what is the truth that we listen to? Well, do we know enough of the Bible to help answer what is the truth of the Bible? How much time do you need to figure that out? Or is it based on a feeling? Well, we all have something to figure out. Will it happen one time, or will you need repeated examples to show that it is a reflection of God? Well, we all cross that bridge when we do, and I don't know when it will be for you. Maybe not even for me. But we have so many good and decent people in this world that try to figure something out. I know a good and decent person in this world that just passed into the next life. And so now he's there. And I met this man 25 years ago. Perhaps some of you know Ed and Georgie. They have been on mission things, and have had certain God things happen to them. One day in church, now this was 25, maybe a little more, years ago, they both had a vision from God as they were sitting in church. And it was to save a people. That was what they both felt and experienced sitting in church that day. And they both knew that they were called to fulfill a mission to save a certain people. Very interesting, because those people were not Christian people. And because they were not Christian, they could not get help from so many Christian churches in the area. They actually got very little help from churches, but they did find a way to go to Southeast Asia and help lots of people. They figured out how to get money for this cause, and it was a big struggle. Oh, so this man who had just passed was one of the Hmong people from that group. And one way or another, this man who just passed into the next life and Ed and Georgie, they both went into the jungles of Laos and saved many of the Hmong people, because they were, well, after the Vietnam War, they hid in the jungle and they were chased and hunted by the communist Lao enemy, the government there, and the military. You see, anybody who helped America was an enemy of the communist. And so the Lao army was considering the Hmong people to be an enemy that needed to be eliminated. So that was what was going on and why the Hmong people in the jungle were being hunted and killed. And so that was a part of the mission that they both felt called to save the people out of the jungle. And as I said, the churches did not help very much because they were not Christians. They were animists. And so that was, if they had a religion, that's what it was. So anyway, there was that calling. Ed and Georgie went to Thailand and Laos to help move these people out of the jungle where they were hunted and had to hunt for and grind and cook roots and tree bark and such as that. They did not have any economy. They were just in the jungle living, and it was a very tough life. As they were being chased and hunted, what a deal. Well, what we saw in that was God moved here and there. That man who just passed witnessed the hand of God as he was helping to bring his people, the Hmong people, out of the jungle where there were thousands of people living and being hunted because they were enemies of communism. So it's not like movement was easy and free as it is in this country. In that country, everything was watched, everything was monitored, and nothing came easy. So when they were over there in Laos, it's a Buddhist country, very Buddhist, and they had a strong sense that they wanted to get crosses for every person who was on that trip to pull people out of Laos. And as I said, it was not easy to get crosses in a Buddhist country, but they did, and they gave it to every member of the team that was moving to get the Hmong people saved out of the jungle. Now, there were people who saw the hand of God moving, including the man who has just passed away in this country in the hospital. Well, that man who just passed, he did accept Jesus long ago, years ago. And by the way, he also accepted Jesus when he was in the hospital shortly before he passed into the next life. So we just kind of wonder, or I will ask you, is a person saved by just that? Yeah, well, you get to figure that out. I'm not going to tell you because there are such a diverse question about what it takes to be saved. Believe only and thou will be saved, thou and their family. Well, it says it a little different here and there in the Bible, and that's why I want to say, you look and you see what it takes to have that personal relation with Jesus Christ. Do you need to tell other people that you are a believer? It's a good question, and it's not one that I want to discuss exactly. It's just that this applies for what happens in that case. So the other part, as I think about being saved through grace onto salvation, and I think of 2 Peter 13:10, and wherefore give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then I continue a little bit onto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So always, when you hear a scripture, please look it up and read it for yourself, because we always get more understanding if we read a scripture with our own eyes. So if you ever hear somebody on the radio telling you about a scripture, whatever it is, I hope you do look it up and read the scripture and see if it applies to what that person is telling you that it applies to. I've heard plenty of people on the radio or in church, and occasionally they just have a thought about how that scripture that they are repeating applies, and I have found that it didn't sometime, and mostly it does, but I just urge you to look with your own eyes and see it for yourself. Well, another little part on this story. I was in Thailand with Ed, and we were sitting at a little table in the corner of a store one evening, and a man came into the store. Ed recognized him, and he recognized Ed, and they knew each other from about 10 years before when Ed and Georgie were doing that work with the Hmong people in the jungle. So they hadn't seen each other in 10 years, but they recognized one another. And so Ed asked about the little group that had gone from that is outside of the relocation camp into a city. And Ed asked, how many of that group that was relocated had become Christians? And the man answered Ed, and he said, all of them. Boy, that's an emotional moment just to remember. But I'm not trying to get emotional about this, but it's an amazing thing when a group of people get to know Jesus and become Christ followers. And that was the thing that happened to that little group of people. I gather it was about 25 to 30 people who had left the main group and relocated to a different part of Thailand. And so they all became Christians. And that was just a small number. I mean, there were thousands of people that came out of the jungle of that ethnic group. And no, not that many of them became Christians. But God still saw that there was injustice happening as those people were hunted in the jungle by the Lao army. So the things happen. The things happen in life, and that was an amazing experience because I was a part of that mission too, and I was right there. I got to see it. I was a witness. It's a true story, and I love to tell you stories about faith and relationship with God. And by the way, I cannot blame any of the churches that did not want to contribute to the little project, because churches are responsible to their congregation, and they have to make good use of the everything that they use, whether it's money or whatever funds they are. But they are wanting to do God's work, and they do it in the best way that they know how. Nevertheless, I saw the amazing hand of God there in that little meeting, and I knew the man who has just recently passed, and he was doing something of God's work too, as he was saving people out of the jungle so they would not be hunted, you know, just like animals, and shot and killed. Well, those are stories that really did come out. I heard them from the people. Well, so we have things happen right in front of us, and we witness God working. And we get to kind of grasp what it is. Is this a miracle we saw, or is this God's hand moving, and we get to witness it? Good question. It just like in that earthquake in Turkey, was that God's hand moving, or was that a miracle? Everybody gets to see these things as they do, investigate it, but realize that God has a hand in all of it. Which exactly is it? Well, that is something for you and me. We get to all try to figure that out. But we do have the examples of, oh, in Thailand, this was interesting too. There are so many people who are trying to get converts of these people. So they are different religions that are active. It might be an Eddie, it might be a Smith, it might be an Allah person. Did I say that right? Allah. So all these things are interesting. And it is going on. There is a competition, sort of competition, to bring people to their religion and instead of to Christ. And that's something going on very actively in that country. Well, we get to ask Jesus to show us what is going on. And speaking about asking Jesus, this is kind of interesting. Oh, what happened to me about 20 years ago? I got a voice in my head, and it sounded like Scripture, but it was just not quite right. There was something that was not Scripture, and because I had a pretty good idea what Scripture was, the voice sounded pretty close, but not quite. So I asked Jesus. I asked the voice, "Is this of you, God, or is this not of you? In the name of Jesus Christ." And when I put that thought and I spoke those words, I did speak them, the thought just flew away rapidly and I had it no more. So that is something that you can do too. I would suppose you could ask the thought, "Are you of God or are you not of God?" So that was my experience. It probably is not your experience, but I'm just telling you that you can have that relation with Jesus Christ and speak to God and have an answer. I think we all can do that, but it might not be an answer the way you expect it, but it might be. God works in his own way. Praise our Lord. And we do know that God says that he does not want any one to perish. Not one. That's 2 Peter 3:9. He's not willing that any should perish. But we also know that God gives people free will. So are you going to believe or are you not going to believe? Or what about these things that are God moving? Or God's miracles? Are you going to believe they are of God or not of God? Well, you can do that same little test that I did. Ask it. Ask it and listen for God's response, however he responds to you. Well, these are my experiences that I'm telling you. It is interesting. And we have our life to live. By the way, everyone has a whole lifetime to figure out if there is God, how he moves, if there is a Jesus, and what happens. Now, we get a lifetime, but the thing is, we all have a different lifetime. Some people live to be 100. Some people live to be 25. And then we have an eternal judgment. First we live, and then there is the death and Jesus. That's scripture close enough right there. So we want to know the truth, and we want to know what is of God and what is not of God. So test the thoughts in the way that you have found an answer. As we go through life, living each day, we do want to live godly so that we have, we get benefits from living godly. I mean, that happens in the next life. There are rewards, and there's the conditions that we get based on how we live. And I think it's important that we are honest with ourselves about what's going on, or maybe what our motivation is for when we do something that's good. Is it really godly? I mean, just think. There are times I know I have fooled myself, but I also know we cannot fool God. We ask God for guidance and faithfulness, but that also means we have to listen to what God says. We can fool ourselves and think to ourselves, we are doing this for God, but are we getting something out of it for our own self? Well, maybe we are. Maybe that means we're doing it for ourselves, or maybe half ourselves, half for God. But that's something that you all get to understand for yourself. I think of that scripture that talks about Jesus comes not to bring peace, but he comes to bring a sword. And I think of that sword as dividing the truth in your heart. Is what you're doing for God or for yourself? Is it for something you will gain, or is it for the kingdom of God? Well, I think of every little thing makes a difference. I remember hearing, this was translated, but it was a close translation. And this was the testimony of a 15-year-old secular Hebrew boy in Israel. And technically, I mean for real, his vital signs stopped and he died on the operating table for a few minutes. And you can look that up, his story about what happened. And it's under something like the 15-year-old boy who had a conversation with Jesus. I guess I can't quite remember the title, but it was the 15-year-old boy, and that is right on YouTube, and I looked it up a couple of times, but not lately. Well, here's the thing. He had an experience where he said he went to heaven, and he talked about how heaven was. He talked about what he saw and what he was told, and he remembered it very well. Right after that happened, there were a number of of the Hebrew, not priests, but that they're people, and they interviewed the boy to see if he was accurately saying what was according to the book of Old Testament, and it was, and this boy would not have had any reason to know anything because he was secular, but what he spoke about fit completely in with their Old Testament Bible. And so they were amazed, and they really didn't know what to think of the boy. Could it be true? He really died and went to heaven and was spoken to? Well, is it a miracle? Do you believe it? Do you not believe it? One of the points that he was so strongly speaking about was that Messiah, which is Jesus, would be returning soon. The other thing that this 15-year-old boy spoke of was that the things that we do in life made such a difference. If we sinned a little bit, it was a huge problem. And if we did just a little bit of good, it was such a big, amazing good stuff. So I think that is a lesson too, for each one of us to realize the good we do is very good. The bad we do is very bad. So keep that in mind. Another person that I've liked very much has been the testimony of the American anthropologist Ron Wyatt. In his exploration of the Middle East and Israel, he talks about having found Noah's Ark, and he tells you all about it. If you look him up, be sure to get his personal testimony. He passed, I don't know, was it 10 years ago, into the next life, but there are video recordings of what he had to say and how he discovered the different things, like Noah's Ark and what it was like and all the process that he went through. Another thing, this is just so amazing to me, that he found the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. And he said that there was a red substance on it, you know, dark red. He scraped some of it off, and he found that the blood was still alive. He brought it to a laboratory, and they told him about it, something that just could not have been based on the number of chromosomes in it. Could not have been. They just did not understand. Well, Ron Wyeth and his discovery of the Ark of the Covenant was quite an amazing story. Look it up if you want to, but do listen to him telling the story. I remember finding that there were several people who told the story that were not him, and it just wasn't as good. Listen to him tell the story. Well, there are testimonies of this and of that, testimonies of people going to heaven, testimonies of them having an experience on earth, and we can tell that things are getting closer and closer in the knowledge we have of Jesus Christ. Oh, see, that's the other thing. Ron Wyeth prayed and asked God, why, God, did you have me discover this Ark of the Covenant now? And he said in his testimony that his experience showed him that God responded and said that the time of the end is coming close, and we want to be able to show that the Bible is true. That's what God wanted. So that is why Ron Wyeth understood that he was discovering these things now, to show that the Bible is true. That 15-year-old boy also had an experience where God, Jesus, told him the time was short, that Jesus would be returning shortly. And what is shortly? Is it short to you and me, or is it short to God? I mean, perhaps 100 years is short. Perhaps 2,000 years is short. After all, they are the end days after Jesus walked the earth. We're still in them. But are the days short or are they not? Something we all get to try to discern or pray about, ask God. We are preparing for all sorts of things to come our way. And what I see over and over, now this is me, but I see it so strongly, so I talk about it, that hard times are coming. Now some people see it so clearly and other people don't. But me, I see it very closely, very, very surely. It is so obvious to me when I look at either the spiritual reasoning or the secular reasoning. I see things are going to happen in a great big way. And again, I can say soon, but I don't know how soon. I think I'll talk about that in another minute or two. Well, people have determined that everything is happening now according to Scripture, and they know that things are getting close. So do I talk about that? Do I cite the people that say it? Or do you just have that understanding that it's not going to be long now? But what is not long? I mean, is 1,000 years not long to God? And is it Him who talks to us about how much time is left? I don't mean I have an answer to that. All I know is it's good to be prepared to meet Jesus now or any time. And I hope you do have yourself set in order so that you know enough of the Bible that you can make a conversation, yes, with other people, and yes, with Jesus, about what the Bible talks about. And we also want to make sure of our personal relation with Jesus Christ. Now, this terrific fellow, who passed into the next life, I so look forward to seeing him. He's a good man, but good man is not what it takes. It takes someone who relies on Jesus for their salvation. So he had the chance. He probably did. I don't know. I hope you do. But you have to figure this out. This is for you to figure out. Know enough of Scripture to know that you are saved through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Lord God, guide everyone who hears to this close and knowing understanding. So we have things right here on earth. What's going on? There's this and that, troubles here and there. And so I think about preserving life. What do we need to preserve life to give people a chance to accept Jesus Christ? Well, you have to be alive. And that means you need water, food, and warmth. And in the big situation, if it really is big trouble, we are going to need a community also. And what would it take to cause dissension, decay, anarchy? Well, that reminds me of, who said this? He said Lenin. Lenin said this. You remember Lenin and Trotsky of the Russia Revolution government? Well, Lenin said that we are only 3 meals away from anarchy. Now, other people have said similar things, but that is something which each one of us can ponder. You see, we need water, we need food, we need warmth, and ultimately, every one of us needs community. So consider these things and know the people around you to see if you can prepare in a way that keeps you alive and the people around you alive. Why? So you can live more? No, so you can bring people to Jesus Christ. That's what I think the goal here is. Let's introduce people to Jesus and have them say, "Yes, Lord." Now, a lot of people have a fear of God instead of a love of God. Well, I think you learn one way or the other as you read the Bible. Maybe you need love. Maybe you need fear. I don't know, but learn about God. Learn about Jesus. That's what I hope you do. There is much to ponder, to have discernment or even discussion about what goes on. There's so many things. It's in the Bible. That's how we learn these things. Everybody does. Oh, or they don't. But it's better to know, it's better to learn, and it's better to live according to Bible Scripture. That's what I think is the best. So know a little bit of the Bible. Read it. Understand it. It's a good book. That's for sure. So we have all sorts of things that are trying to understand what God is telling us. And God is God. He tells us in a way that we can understand, but we don't have the same mind of God, but we can experience a part of it. And that is what we try to do. We try to learn more. I know I've seen a number of people who have been a part of sharing God's word. There's people who are Bible couriers, and they literally bring in suitcases of Bibles into a country where Bibles are forbidden. I've talked with the people. It happens in various countries, and certainly it happens in the ones where Bibles are forbidden, like Cuba, like Laos, like China, like all these different places. And you know, when we do good things, there are rewards set aside for us. But we are all working from this point where people have brought us to in the past. The past has had so much work to bring us to where we are today, where we can actually own a Bible and read a Bible. And you think of the people in the past, well, there's all sorts of people who we build on the work that they did. I'm thinking of Francis Xavier, who was a Catholic missionary to, he was to Southeast Asia too, and another Southeast Asia one was Matthias Ricci. He was about 1600. There's just lots of people who have had a heart to teach, to show Jesus to people. And, well, yes, we work upon the works and the faith of other people. One upon the other we build. And Jesus will rightly discern our rewards. I don't know them. I certainly don't. I know even to talk to somebody can be such a good and wonderful thing. Even a smile, even a hello, even a talk about the goodness of God. Well, that reminds me of that 15-year-old Jewish boy who said he experienced that heavenly place. And he said, the little bit of good that we do is very good. The little bit of bad that we do is very bad. So that was one of the things that he learned when he went to that heavenly place. Well, so much of history shows us one thing or another. I do like that he was examined by the rabbis, and they said that what he saw lined up with the Torah. So, just all very interesting. We all get to make decisions about the mysteries we see. Do I know the whole thing? No. I ask you to look and for you to search out the truth and understanding, and let faith fill in what you don't understand, and ask God to guide you and direct you. Jesus is amazing. He works here and there and in everything. I know he has worked through my car accident, and the way I know that is because I had healing that was I was pretty injured, and I had some rapid healing, and I could tell by the wound people and the doctors, and they were surprised at my healing. And certainly, I do not attribute that to me, or my body, or my wonderful thoughts, or anything else. I attribute that to prayer. So many people were praying for me, and I want to thank you for the prayer that you have given all sorts of people. Thank you for your prayers. So many people benefit from prayers of people we know or don't know, and I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for so many people, so many causes. Just keep praying. It has a wonderful, wonderful effect, a very real effect. And I certainly am glad to pray for people too. If you send me a little note, I'll remember you on my prayer list, and I'll be so grateful for it. I am grateful that people prayed for me, and I saw the healing beyond normal. So hooray for praying. Yes, write me a note if you want to. Let's see. There's things in life that we can deal with that are getting us through a troubled time. And every little thing makes a difference for our preparedness, our personal preparedness. So, here is a little something written by Benjamin Franklin. You know, so it was a long time ago, a few hundred years. But it is an example of how the little things make a difference. And yes, so do the big things, but so do the little things. It's called For the Want of a Nail, the Shoe Was Lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And for all, for the want of a horseshoe nail. So that's an example of how little things can make a difference. And that's something we all want to pay attention to in our preparedness considerations. What are they? They're always different. And we each see one thing different, but we all see something going on around us and in front of us. And we want to be sure to help other people too, in every way. Yes. Yes for prayer. Yes for conversation. Yes for a smile. And or yes for a contribution. So many people need a contribution. I'm in churches I'm thinking of, or missionaries. But everybody needs a little bit of help besides the dollar amount, whether it's a dollar or $1,000. The idea that somebody says, good job, and that's what your contribution always does, whether it is with a dollar or a smile. We all have a chance to interact with people as we go through life. And this is all something we can do that is wonderful for Jesus Christ, is to have something good going on. Smile at somebody. Say, have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen. And then there's this and there's that. Just have a smile. Remind them that Jesus loves them. So all these things are something we can do to make sure that they know God loves them, and He certainly does. So you consider that as you go through life. There is everything that is good from God, and we have a chance to share that with other people one way or another. And we get a reward, an eternal reward, for our smile, for our good word, for our $1,000 to a missionary. There's all sorts of things that we can do that will help other people. To recite a scripture can be a good thing. To remind them of the goodness of God, every way to do it. And it doesn't mean bad things don't happen. They do happen. There was the Tower of Siloam that was in Luke, Luke 13. And it fell on people, and the people of the day in Jesus' time wanted to know why. Well, it's not that we have all the answers, but it fell, and it did kill people. Was there a dozen people? Something like that. So keep your attitude good, show the love of God to other people, and let your responses be wonderful to people. See, we don't know what's coming. We know things can be pretty difficult. We know there are awful things in the world, but we can have a smile. We can support a good cause. There's so many bad things going on there's human trafficking, for instance. There is dishonesty. There is literally evil around. And we have a chance to show the goodness of God all around us. And I think that's really what we want to do. Be clear on the goodness of God that you share. And there's so much going on in the world that we do want to have a godly attitude and a godly help for other people. Show people and let them know the goodness of God when you speak. Do the good and right thing. Yes, I pray for you in Jesus' name. Don't I pray for my people a lot, the Christian people? I don't mean my people. I mean the people of Christ, and yes, I understand them greatly. We have things coming up. What they are, we wonder about, but there's too many indicators that say we are going to have great big trouble. So, look out, get prepared for things so that you can show the love of Christ in the time of difficulty. Things surely look like they're going to be wars and rumors of wars. So get prepared and have the things that will keep people alive, including you, so that you have a chance to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.